Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
33 minutes after 7. Welcoming to our program now at this point in time, Acting Chief Veterinary Officer, Ministry of Agriculture, Land and Fisheries, Dr. Lisa Musai. Dr. Musai, good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, Satish. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning. We've got a very specific discussion. And just before we get into our discussion a bit, let's get to know you a bit. Tell us a bit about yourself and your role at this point in time and your history with the ministry and, of course, with those things related to agriculture, land and fisheries.
Okay, well, right now, currently, I am the Acting Chief Veterinary Officer in the Ministry of Agriculture. This is with the Animal Production and Health Division. And one of our main focuses is on disease surveillance and control, disease prevention and control. And there are several diseases that we like to focus on, and one of them is rabies in particular.
We've heard time and time again, I think people have a general idea of what rabies is, and some people may have a greater understanding of it and how it's spread and the do's and don'ts and that kind of thing. But for the people listening into us who have no clue whatsoever, let's approach the discussion like that. That there are people who are listening into us have no clue what rabies is and how to deal with it. What exactly is rabies?
So rabies is a severe viral disease that affects animals, right? And these animals are your mammals, and it's a zoonotic disease, which means that it can spread from mammals to humans. So humans can get the disease as well. And this is a very worrying aspect of this particular disease, because rabies is actually, it's virtually 100% fatal, right? Now, having said that, I also want to mention the fact that rabies is also 100% preventable. So it's a very severe, deadly disease, but it can be prevented once you take the right steps at the right time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we were told some time ago, was it a rabies outbreak in South Trinidad was affecting some livestock?
There was.
Okay.
Well, that was earlier on this year, like around February, March or so, we had a rabies outbreak in livestock animals in South. Now, Trinidad is particular in that we have what is called bat-transmitted rabies in our country, meaning that the bats are the vectors of transmission of the disease. So they are the ones that spread the disease.
Meaning that they're infected.
And we are the only Caribbean country where the bats are the vectors, vampire bats in particular, the vectors of the disease.
Meaning that the bats have the rabies and they spread it to the animals that they feed on.
Correct. And these vampire bats, we've seen historically, they feed on livestock animals, in particular cattle and buffalo. And we have noticed some increased levels of vampire bats attacking our livestock animals. And they've also begun attacking some years ago sheep and goats as well. And in very recent times, hunting dogs.
Oh, that's pretty worrisome.
Yes, which is why we have engaged in a very intensive prevention and control plan in the ministry to help curb the situation at hand. Of course, another worrying aspect is the fact that we have a lot of illegal entry of animals coming in at our southwestern borders from Venezuela. Sometimes we get livestock animals coming in, sometimes we get dogs coming in, and Venezuela has rabies in dogs. So when that happens, we do not know the health status or the disease status of those animals that enter our porous borders illegally. So it's something that we have to,
Well, there are a couple questions there, because if you have animals coming in and you're assuming that they're going to be sold for slaughter or something else, how do you identify? Let's just say you're buying an entire animal, you might be able to say, well, something wrong with this animal, it's sick or whatever else. But short of that, would you be able to know if meat or whatever is infected with rabies? Is that even possible?
Well, you'd have to do testing, but there are also certain clinical signs that you would see. The animal would exhibit certain clinical signs that can clue you in that you could be dealing with rabies. It can, it could be a suspect case in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to tell, well, let me get into the clinical manifestation of rabies. So there are two different clinical manifestations of rabies. You have the furious form, which is mainly transmitted by dogs. And those rabid animals will be aggressive, hyperactive, profuse drooling at the mouth. And that's the type that you, you know, that's the ones you see in the movies and so on, when they show you movies with rabid dogs or dogs with rabies. We don't have that one here, and that's the one that we don't want to get. The last time, actually, that we've seen any canine rabies in this country was over 100 years ago, right? More than a century ago. And we'd like to keep it that way. The other manifestation is one that's called paralytic rabies. Paralytic rabies is the one that we see in Trinidad here currently. It's mainly spread by the vampire bats, as I mentioned before, and it affects the livestock animals. Now, the clinical signs you see with that is associated with what is called an ascending paralysis. So the clinical signs manifestation, you get weakness of the hind legs, the animal is staggering, they try to get up, and then they fall back down and stumble. Then it moves up the body, so there's difficulty in breathing, there's difficulty in swallowing. Some farmers might mistake that as a sign that the animal is choking, because it can appear like that. And they may even want to help that animal and try to put their hand in the animal's, in a cat, you know, a cow's mouth or a livestock mouth to try to dislodge whatever they think might be choking that animal, which is a big no-no because rabies itself is spread from the infected saliva of animals. So that farmer or that person trying to help that animal that they think is choking, that animal is rabid and bites the hand of the person who's trying to help them, you can infect a human that way too. So you want to avoid doing those kind of things. And then other clinical signs would be excessive salivation too. Those livestock animals will drool a lot, and then there's incoordination as well. They also will not want to eat or drink water. When you see those signs and you suspect rabies, what we recommend is that you call us at the animal health subdivision. We have in our division veterinary officers that are working at every county throughout the country, and we also have what is called the anti-rabies unit, which is a special unit who target that particular disease in, that we're speaking about. And they go out and investigate those bat biting cases. Our vets investigate the suspect rabies cases, and there's immediate response and follow-up with that.
Doctor, say how does one, a consumer, what checks and balances would a consumer have to know, well, all right, where I am purchasing meat from is safe? Because you have butchers, quote-unquote butchers, who seem to be slaughtering animals right where they're selling them. Now, I know that there needs to be some sort of measure when animals are taken to an abattoir, that they're monitored and they're checked one way or the other for certain things by persons, or at least they should be checked. So it gives you a greater sense of accountability and reassurance that the product coming out of those places would have been checked one way or the other. But when you have people slaughtering animals and chopping them up and selling them all over the place, you would have... The possibility exists, I'm not saying that people are doing it, but the possibility exists that if somebody sees an animal that is not necessarily as healthy as it should be, and they slaughter that and hang it up, you can't tell what's going on. So what's the advice to the consumer at this point in time if we have heightened concerns about rabies coming into the country through these unregulated ports?
Right, so because we have a lot of that unregulated entry at ports of entry, right? What we recommend is that you buy your meat at known butchers that you know of, and especially, as you had mentioned, the ones who have their animals slaughtered at abattoirs. Because at abattoirs, the veterinary public health inspectors from the Ministry of Health, they visit there regularly, and that's where they do their inspection on the carcasses that come in to ensure that those carcasses, that meat, is free of several diseases. Quite apart from rabies, several other diseases that can be spread through the meat or can be spread from handling raw meat. You want to avoid those diseases. So we recommend that you purchase your meat from known abattoirs and slaughterhouses.
How bad is the problem? Do we have a bad problem at this point in time, or are we trying to arrest the situation so that we don't have a bad problem with rabies? What's the situation with infections And do we have cases of rabies being spread from animal to human at this point in time?
We do not. We have not had a human case of rabies since the last known one was in 1957, right? So luckily, we are not there yet, and we want to keep it that way. What we do recommend is that if you are aware that your animal is bitten by a vampire bat, that you contact us at the National Animal Disease Center, and I'll give you my number. It is 693-2910. That's National Animal Disease Center, 693-2910. And you let us know about your bad biting cases so we can come and investigate. When we do that, whichever animal is bitten by that bat, we will vaccinate that animal to help protect that animal. We would also, if there is reason that we suspect that you as a person need to be assessed, then we'd also call on the veterinary public health to assist in the investigation too. And they would come and assess the person, whether it is a farmer or a hunter, because those are the higher risk persons right now in the country, and decide if they also need to have some sort of treatment. Because once you apply a treatment to a person within 24 hours, I would even say within 12 hours, ideally, that person will not succumb to the infection if it is that they are in fact infected, right? So it's very critical that we are called immediately upon suspicion of the disease so that we can act and respond immediately. Now, the vector that I spoke about, the vampire bat, right now we have quite an overpopulation of that particular bat in the country. And we in the ministry have been taking steps since early on this year as well, just around the time soon after the last outbreak we had, to control the population, control the numbers of vampire bats that we have in the country. So we go out at night at the various caves and roosts and so on, and we perform various culling activities to keep the numbers of vampire bats at bay. Because we've been seeing a lot more bat biting cases, a lot more bats are biting our animals, and we are seeing a lot more bats coming in from the forest into nearer the forest edges and to rural areas like the farmers that live near the forest edges, and even people are being bitten by bats. So we are doing what we need to as well. We've started controlling the vampire bat population in the country so that there are less bats out there. There would be less to spread the disease, and therefore there'd be a less chance, a lower risk of an animal or a person succumbing to the disease.
Yeah. I know that the focus and target at this point in time is persons who are in close proximity to animals, and that would most likely be farmers and persons around the farm and that kind of thing. But I'm not too sure if you mentioned it before. You did say what the symptoms are and what would happen to an animal or dog or whatever else that is infected by rabies. What are the symptoms and signs and so on for a person infected with rabies?
Well, you will get a lot of nervous symptoms, right? It could be something very similar to the animals as well. So their nervous system would be affected, and you will have a lot of incoordination as well. And then if there isn't any treatment that is taken at the right time, it can lead to death as well.
We need to take a couple of quick messages, but when we get back, we'll speak about some more of those control measures. Some people sending one or two messages asking for basic information, I'm assuming. If there are those of you who'd like to join the discussion, feel free to call us when we get back or send your WhatsApp messages to 3061065. And our phone number is 627-3223 and 625-2257. Stay with us.
Join the chat now on the all-new Freedom on the all-new Talk Radio 106.5.
With us this morning, we're speaking with our special guest, Acting Chief Veterinary Officer, Ministry of Agriculture, Land and Fisheries, as Dr. Lisa Musai. Speaking on the issue of rabies, and Dr. Musai, I know before you had mentioned a bit about the animals that are at risk and that are targeted by the vampire bat. Somebody asking about poultry. Whether or not poultry, let me read the exact message for you. Rabies affect poultry birds. Is that something people should be mindful of at all? Is that a possibility?
No, rabies is a disease of mammals. So any animal that's not a mammal,
great,
right, such as birds, will not succumb to the disease. But poultry can be bitten by vampire bats, because a vampire bat would attack any animal in search of a blood meal. Vampire bats biting poultry, of course, would deprive that bird, that poultry, of blood. So the bird is going to become weak and dehydrated. And so you'd see other signs of ill health, but it is not rabies that you see.
Because we're almost out of time for our interview this morning, let's give people who are listening in some of the nitty-gritty information, the do's, the don'ts, what to look for. If there is cause for concern one way or the other, once again, what they should do.
Okay, so if your animal or you are bitten by a vampire bat, well, you won't know if it's a vampire bat, right? Because it's hard for a lay person to tell the difference between a vampire bat or a fruit bat or an insect-eating bat. But if you're bitten by a bat, what we recommend that you do immediately is wash the bite area for at least 15 minutes with soap and water. Something as simple as just washing the area with soap and water for an extended period of time can rid the virus, the rabies virus, from that wound, right? So that's the first course of action that you should take, is that you wash the area with soap and water for at least 15 minutes. That could, you know, could go a long way to save you or your animal from succumbing to the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you should do secondly, if it is that it is your animal that is bitten, you contact us, as I had mentioned before, and then we would do a follow-up investigation. If we, right, the anti-rabies unit will come out to your farm or your premises and check on the animal to assess if it has actually been bitten by a bat, and then we would follow up with vaccination of the animal. If it is that you are the one that is bitten by the bat, then veterinary public health would be the one who would come to visit and assess the situation as well. And I can give you the veterinary public health from the Ministry of Health. Their phone number is 226-7778. So that's also a good number to keep handy.
Yeah, definitely.
Our county vets, if we suspect rabies, our county vets will come out to the premises as well and do a thorough investigation and examine the animal. And then we determine what the next course of action is, whether we vaccinate your farm. Sometimes we also would move on to vaccinate surrounding farms, because it suggests to us that bats are now targeting that area. So we would also do vaccination of farms in that surrounding area as well to help, you know, the animals have a bit of control over the disease.
Yeah. We've been giving people a lot of valuable information here this morning, but this is where we need to drop the curtains on our interview here this morning. Anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Musa? I mean, this is a situation that, if left unchecked for whatever reason, can get out of hand apparently very quickly. And that's something people definitely need to be mindful of, because you're talking about health. And you're talking about a situation here with a virus that can lead to death if left unchecked. What is something people need to be mindful of always as we continue to focus on this thing?
Okay, well, remember too that the reason why bats would target your animal is because they are presented maybe as an easy target. So animals, as much as possibly can, should be housed at night. So instead of having them free roaming, if you can help it, if you are in an area where there are lots of bats present, especially vampire bats, you want to have those animals also, that you want to create the environment such that you don't make it so easy for your animals to be a target, succumbing to rabies. And if you are aware that your animals are unvaccinated, your livestock animals, then you contact us and we would come in and conduct some vaccination procedures. Right? That's one of the main things that we do in controlling rabies in the country, is that we vaccinate livestock animals. So if you're a livestock farmer, you contact us and we would take your information down and make arrangements to cover certain areas according to the level of risks, of course, that are in those areas to have those animals vaccinated.
Dr. Musa, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning, for all the information. And for those of you listening in to us, I encourage you to take advantage of it if you think that you need to. Dr. Musa, thank you once again for being with us here this morning.
You.
And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'll drop the curtains on this interview. It's valuable information.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.